Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for taking time to join us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible and we hope and aim and pray that God gives us the grace to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And so far we have done 20 books of the Bible. If you've not been able to listen to them, to the podcasts we've done, you can find them on our app, Bible In-Depth Network, that's on Play Store, or even on all podcast channels, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Podbean, name it. You'll find all podcasts there and you'll be able to listen in. And the Lord shall reveal His word to you, because that's what God does. Whenever we show the need, God indeed comes out to reveal His word to us. There's no limitation to revelation. And yesterday we studied on the book of Ecclesiastes. And today I want us to continue with chapter 2. Book written by the wisest that has ever lived, as we know. And that is King Solomon. And he starts by saying, I say to myself, come now, I'll test you with pleasure and gratification. So enjoy yourself and have a good time. Behold, this too was vanity. The pleasure, the gratification, the enjoyment, everything that he set out to do, himself comes out and says he realized it was meaningless. We talked a lot about this yesterday. Yeah? I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? After I've got all the pleasures in the world, what have I accomplished? That's what he's asking. I explored with my mind how to gratify myself with wine, while at the same time having my mind remain steady and guide me wisely, and how to take control of foolishness until I could see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. Of course, he's bringing out the position that we often want to have described when there's an issue to discuss about wine in a Christian circle and all that. And for him, he says, he explored. Let me use wine to gratify myself, to bring joy to myself. But also, he took the other caution that we normally say, that you know what? It's okay for you to take some as long as you keep sober. And this is what he says he did. When he took, he still remained steady. He still remained wise so that he can be guided. And he can also guide as a leader. Guide wisely. So he was taking it in good amounts. He never had moments where he gets drunk. Just like we always say that should be the case. And this he also tried. But it was all meaningless. It was all vanity. It was all futile. It didn't matter. And he says, I made great works. I built houses for myself. He didn't only build a temple, he built houses. He did great works. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and orchards for myself. And I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made pools of water for myself. This guy made swimming pools. From which to water the forest and make trees and bud. He made everything. He had sources of water to even go and water his gardens. He had it all. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves born in my house. I also possessed herds and flocks larger than anyone who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. Remember, they used to come to him. Yeah, clear example of the Queen of Sheba. And she used to come with gifts. Kings would come with gifts. From far off, they brought it all to him. Yeah? I provided for myself male singers and female singers and the delights and pleasures of men. What was that? many concubines. He had it all. He even had concubines, which he says is the pleasure of men here. Many would say that they have many wives and that's their glory. He had 700 of them. He had it all. Everything that appears to be satisfying, he had it all. Many of the things that we fight to gain in this world, he had it all. But still he came out to say, it is all vanity of vanities. It is all meaningless. It all does not matter. That's what he comes out to say. He says, irrespective of how much achievement I have got, irrespective of the houses I've built, I realize it is all meaningless. So I became great and excelled more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. On top of having everything, he was the wisest man that was living. And he had all wisdom, all knowledge, all control. Whatever my eyes looked at with desire, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold from my heart and any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. The reward for labor is always success. Yeah? That is the reward he also chose to give himself pleasure. If he succeeded, he will have the pleasure. He will enjoy as he would want to. That happens in life, yes. The issue is even when you've succeeded and you're enjoying your life, remember, it is all meaningless. All that matters is the Lord. Yeah? Then I considered all which my hands had done and labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and chasing after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. He says, after everything I've told you that I have achieved and done, I have realized there is nothing great in it. Yeah. So I turned to consider wisdom. Now, which wisdom was this? Secular wisdom. Because he has achieved all that, but he feels there is nothing. So he tries something else. Yeah. So I turned to consider wisdom, madness and folly. For what will man do who succeeds the king? Yeah? Nothing except what has already been done. That one we've already seen. Then I saw that even the secular wisdom that brings sorrow is better than the pleasures of folly and self-indulgence, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness, and yet I know that in the end one fate happens to them both. The fool and the wise have the same fate. Then I say to myself, as it happens to the fool, so death will also happen to me. He says, as I am the wisest man, one day I'll die, just like the fool also dies. Yeah? What use is it then for me to be extremely wise? Then I said in my heart, this too is vanity. Saying, I am so wise, but this too is meaningless. You know, there is a port that your wisdom, your wealth, your life, your prosperity cannot fill, and only God can fill it. And that is the need right here, because when you have God, it's not futile, it's not vanity, it's not meaningless. You will feel that God is with you. That's what's key for us. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man than of the fool, since in the days to come all will be long forgotten. They will forget the wisest, they will forget the fool. Yeah? And how does the wise man die? Same way as the fool. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun caused me only great sorrow. Because all is futility and chasing after the wind. This man is saying, it all doesn't matter. Yeah? So I hated the fruit of my labor, the gain for which I had labored under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will succeed me. He's saying, after all I've worked, after all I've done, eventually, I have to leave everything to the person coming after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. He's saying the person coming after me might even waste it all. Because he might be a fool. He may not be wise like I've been. That happens. You work hard. Grow an empire. Yeah? Grow an estate. And when you're gone, those who come after you, maybe your children or whoever takes over, just comes and sells everything and wastes the money, and your estate, that which you tried to build and say it will last generations, has gone to waste. There is nothing that is left in remembrance of it. That's what he's also saying here. Saying, when I've gone and all that I've done, the ones that will come after me, will they be wise or a fool? They may come and waste everything. And we saw it, because after Solomon, everything just went shambles. Nothing remained of what he built. Even the temple that he so well built was broken down, burnt. Yeah? So that's what he's trying to say, that even after all I've achieved, vanity of vanities. So he's saying, who will come after me? Will they be wise or a fool? Yet you will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wisely. Under the sun, this too is vanity. So I turned aside and let my heart despair over all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. For there is a man who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, yet gives his legacy to one who has not labored for it. You've done too much, so much, excelled in the best way possible, and the one coming after you is going to destroy everything. It can even be an organization. And you say, I've worked so hard to bring this organization up. But the one who will come after you could put it down. He has not labored for it, but comes to spend until it goes down to the drain. And he says, this too is vanity and a great evil. It's nothingness. For what does man get from all his labor and from the striving and the sorrow of his heart with which he labors under the sun? For all his days, his work is painful and sorrowful. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. You're working hard. You don't get enough sleep and all. And it's all vanity. Nothingness, meaningless, worthless. There's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and assure himself that there is good in his labor. Even this I have seen is from the hand of God. That you can even get out and rejoice and get excited and have fun in what you've achieved. Even that comes from God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? They're talking about God. You cannot sit down for a meal and have excitement and have fun and all that when the Lord has not granted that you have that fun. For the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. Yeah, so that he may give to the one who pleases God. This too is vanity and chasing after the wind. Yeah, that those who are sinful, when they work, it's collected by those who are righteous. But it says even that is vanity of vanities. The whole picture here concerning these vanities is for me to know that irrespective of what I'm trying to achieve here on earth, irrespective of the ministries we are building, irrespective of the organizations we are building, irrespective of the wealth, the prosperity that is coming our way, we don't put all our eyes on that as the achievement, because it is all meaningless. All that we have to focus on is the Almighty God. He's the one that gives meaning to my life. He's the one that gives purpose to my life. He's the one I look at and I say, I have achieved. Because when I have him, I have everything. Yeah? So that is what I look at. That's what I consider. That's what I say, I have succeeded when I have God. Yeah? Chapter 3. A chapter that we always love to talk about. It has very interesting title, A Time for Everything. And it starts by saying, there is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight and event, all purpose under heaven. He's trying to tell us, everything has its time. Every season comes at its appointed time. There is a time for everything. Even in my life and in your life, in the things we are desiring for, there is a time for it. Sometimes it has not come yet because it is not yet its time. But also you need to be cautious not to miss the times and the seasons, because a season may come for something and you've not been alert and it passes. And oh, how hard it can be to regain it. Verse 2, he starts to give us the times, the different times for things. A time to be born and a time to die. We've all been born. Yeah, each and every one has been born. Every being that exists has been born. And the time they were born was the time. It was the season for you to be born. So you don't say, I wish I was born in this generation. Or, I wish I was born 30 years ago. No, you were born at this time, that exact time. Yeah? And a time to die. That one is hard truth, but every one of us at one point will die, because it will be the time to die. And you know, sometimes we grieve over loss, and that's okay. But that is a time, that is a season that has been set. So there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. Yeah, it's a time to get out, work, plant, and also you will know that it's now time to go and pluck, go and harvest. Sometimes we fail to notice the times of planting. A time for me to sow, and I fail to notice. And when harvest time comes for you, you didn't plant, so you have nothing to harvest. So it's key for us to know when it is time to sow. Yeah? Then there's a time to kill and a time to heal. What a statement. There's a time for destruction and there's a time for healing. Yeah? A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to break down walls. A time to break down some things. A time to break down some relationship. A time to break down some event or scenarios, and you have to break them time. Then a time to build them up. You know, not all time is time to build relations. Sometimes you need to kill them. Bring them to a halt. And if you miss that moment, then you're building up trouble for yourself. And he says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. When you find somebody laughing when it's time for weeping, then there's a problem. When you find a person weeping when it's time to laugh, then there's a problem. But there are seasons, and you need to know them. You know, some of us fail to observe these seasons. And sometimes we want to act brave. You've gone through a very difficult situation in your life, and it's a time for you to weep, to mourn, to cry. And you say, me, I'm a ninja, I will not cry. I am hard. But you're missing the season that you're supposed to weep. You choose to laugh in the season you're supposed to weep, yet you need to get in. And it's okay. It is a season. It is a time. Weep. Weep. And also a time of laughing shall come. But if you do not take this time serious, then you confuse everything. It's okay to weep when you've gone through a hard time. Cry those tears. Otherwise, you'll cry them in the future when it's not time for them. Yeah? A time to mourn and a time to dance. If it is time for mourning, mourn your losses. Mourn the people that you've lost at the time you're supposed to. Otherwise, if you don't, and you're saying, me, I'm a ninja, I don't cry, I don't release a tear, then you'll mourn them in future when it is not time to mourn them. Yeah? There's a time to weep. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to laugh and a time to dance. Those are different. And you need to be very alert that you don't do something in its wrong period. If it is a funeral and you're out there dancing and jumping, then that is a problem. You're missing the time. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing at that time. Yeah? And it says, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Well, there are seasons where I have to embrace people. Some people in your life. Those who are in need. Those who come to you and they are crying out. It's a time to embrace, and you need to pick that moment. Because the time will come when you can't do that anymore. And when you can't do it, and you don't have the ability to do it, however much you'll want to do it, it will just be futile. So take the moment and embrace when you have to embrace. Yeah, if it is a lifestyle, embrace it while you still can. Because the time can come, and you're trying to embrace what you already lost, and you can't grasp or get hold of it. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. You know, sometimes you're searching for answers, searching for a partner, searching for the way forward, searching for what is ahead in the future. What am I supposed to do? What is my goal? What's my career? What am I called here to do? And it's key for you to know at that season, to know it, that this is my time to look for some things in life. A time to search. If it's time for you to search for your spouse, search for that wife, use it. Because a time can come when you cannot find them. Sometimes we take long and we're sluggish, and opportunities pass by. Yeah? Searching for that which you are called to do in life, and you miss it, you miss the mark. Know when it's the season. Know when it's the season and take hold of it. And they say there's also a time to give up as lost. You know, I have tried this thing and it's just not working. I have tried this relationship and it's just not working. It's a time for me to give up. If you don't, then it becomes a problem for you. Know the times. Know the season. Sometimes we get all the signs, we get all the red flags, and then you ignore them. But you need to be aware and awake to know, this is a time for me to leave this business. I think it's going to crumble. This is a time for me to leave this relationship. I think it's going wrong. This is a time for me to leave this place of work and move on to another. This is a time to leave this business and switch to another. You have to be alert and aware, yeah, to know that there is a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Yeah, you need to know when to keep some things and when to let go of some things. Some of us talk up so much. We keep storing and storing, and we just keep. We never release. We never throw away. We never give away. We never take things out of our lives. Then we become a center of chaff, and everything is you, and it grows molds because you don't let go of it. And sometimes it's not even just about the items. Sometimes it's people. And there are some people you need to keep in your life. You need to have them close. Don't let them go. They have to be part of your life because you need to keep them. They guide you. They give you direction. They help keep your life in order. But if you throw them away, then you're headed for trouble. And then there's a time to throw away. There are some people you also have to learn that my season with this person is done. I need to get them out of my life. They are not taking me anywhere anymore. So know when it's time to keep and when it's time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. Yeah? Knowledge. When is it time for you to tear things apart and when is it time for you to bring them together? A time to keep silent. And a time to speak. This was a lot in the book. We've just completed the book of Proverbs. Knowing, managing your tongue. You don't have to speak all the time. Be alert and know when to speak and when to keep quiet. And be also sure not to keep quiet when it's time to speak. Because you're saying, I'm controlling my mouth. No. Sometimes things happen and you need to come out and speak, but people keep quiet and like, let me keep quiet about this. Know when it's time to speak. Don't let justice just go and fall apart. A time to love and a time to hate. Yeah, a time for war and a time for peace. All that we know. What profit is there for the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He says, I've seen everything that God has said. Men, occupy yourselves. Otherwise, if you don't have things to occupy you, then you become a menace. Yeah, but here, he's talking about seasons and times. And still, even those, he says, where is the prophet after all that? Yeah. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. Everything, that's the key word, everything is made beautiful and appropriate in its time. Even the bad things that seem bad, they've been apportioned and they're appropriate for that time. However hard it is for me to believe that, I ought to know that. However hard it is, that is the time it has been set to happen. You know, we go through experiences that are hard sometimes. I'm like, God, why is this coming now? But that is the season in which it had to come. That was the appropriate time for it to come. And the key word here, he has made it beautiful in its season. Even in danger, even in trouble, there is some moment in there that is purposeful, that is to be learned from, that is to take you on another level. There are some times when you have to go through hard times so that you access the good times. And it will take maturity for me to know that this may seem bad, this may seem dangerous, this may seem tough for me, it may seem unfair, but it's paving a way for something that is coming. And that which is coming is good because this is happening in this time for a reason. He has also planted eternity in the human heart. Yeah? A mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out. Man cannot grasp. Man cannot comprehend what God has done from the beginning to the end. We can't comprehend the plan of God. Because some things happen and they look tough, they look weird, and like, is God in this? Yet he's right there. Because he has apportioned it for that season and says, this is going to happen for you. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good as long as they live. And also that every man should eat and drink and see and enjoy the good of all his labor. Which is a gift of God. Yeah? It's a gift of God for you to enjoy your labor. And sometimes it's key for you that when you go out and work, you take yourself out, take friends out, take your family, give them a good time. Because it's a gift from God. He has enabled you to work and make money. Enjoy it. Eat it. Go and enjoy. It's good for you. It's a gift from God. I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor can anything be taken from it. For God does it so that men will fear and worship him. Yeah, that which has already been and that which will be has already been. That which is has already been and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by so that history repeats itself. That which has happened, we looked at that yesterday, will still come and happen tomorrow. It will happen again. There's nothing new under the earth. The experience that you've gone through, somebody else has gone through it before. The hard times you've gone through, somebody else has gone through it before. The good times, the miracles that you've experienced, somebody has gone through it before. It may change nature, but it's the same experience. Yeah? Moreover, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness. And in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. Yeah? Where you should have justice and righteousness, you find wickedness. That's what he's saying. I say to myself, God will judge both the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time appointed for every matter and for every deed. I say to myself, regarding the sons of men, God is surely testing them in order for them to see that by themselves without God they are only animals. That is what we've been saying. That with all these things, all these achievements, all this life, without God, it is vanity. It's meaningless. The comparison here is a life without God. You are only an animal. For the earthly fate of the sons of men and the fate of animals is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have the same breath, and there is no preeminence or advantage for man in and for him and of himself over an animal. For it was all vanity. That animal you throw stones at. I'm trying to equate here. All go to the same place. All came from the dust and all return to the dust. Who knows if the spirit of man ascends upwards and the spirit of the animal descends downward to the earth? He's asking. How do you know that the spirit of man goes up and that of the animal goes down? He's asking a question. So I have seen that there is nothing better than a man. So I have seen that there is nothing better than that a man should be happy in his own works and activities. For that is his portion, that is his share. For who will bring him back to see what will happen after he's gone? When you're gone, who will bring you back to see what you've achieved, the empire you've built? Whether it has been taken up by somebody who is wise or who is not wise, and they've messed it up. But all that he's painting a picture for us here is the fact that it is all vanity and we need the Lord. I need God in my life to give me the completeness. Wealth shall not, relationships shall not. It will not all complete me. It is only the Lord that will complete me. And how? I'll keep my reverence for him. I'll keep my fear for him. I'll keep my honor for him. I'll worship him at all times and trust him at all times. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for speaking to us and letting us know, Lord, that you are there for us, that you care for us. Lord, help us focus on the things that matter. And all that matters is you. You're the one that matters. Our lives are filled with you. Our hearts draw to you because it is you that matters. Help us, Lord, at all times. And may we always know you and stand for you in our lives. We exalt you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.